The strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder that this is Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States. Week. And we will only be on the air Monday and Tuesday. We will be rerunning older shows Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. If you have a show you'd like us to rerun, email me at onair@superhumanradio.com and we'll do our best to play it over the 6 hours of programming we have to produce for those 3 days. We have a good show today, focusing on the brain, actually, and memory and function of the brain. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Phil Tucker from the UK to talk about long-term shift work linked to impaired brain power. This is a really good discussion. Then, at the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Dale Bredzin to talk about memory loss associated with Alzheimer's reversed for the first time. Very, very exciting discussions during both hours. And let's get started right away. Dr. Phil Tucker, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the paper that was just published linking long-term shift work to brain power. When we talk about brain power, what are we actually discussing here, Dr. Tucker?
Well, we gave our participants very simple cognitive tests. So simple things like giving people a set of items to memorize and asking them to recall it straight away, and then a little while later ask them to recall it again. So simple test of short-term memory and long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Then there might be another type of test where it might be substituting one letter for another in a long sequence of letters on a piece of paper and seeing how quickly they do that, so measuring processing speed.
Mm-hmm.
So basic, very simple cognitive measures like that.
Okay, so describe the design of the study itself so we can get a feel for how many subjects were involved that you reviewed here.
So it was about 3,000 participants in total from a broad range of occupations. Just under half of them were shift workers, and we compared them with the others who were non-shift workers, trying to make sure they had comparable professions and things like that. And they were followed over a period of 10 years. And the way we actually collected the data was the study was conducted in the south of France, and there it's a legal requirement that all employees have an annual medical checkup.
Mm.
So every 5 years, the checkup included a whole set of measures and questions related to our study, including the cognitive tests that I've just described. So we were able to follow the participants in terms of their mental abilities, but also a whole range of other background things to do with their physical health and their working conditions, and follow those at five-year intervals over 10 years.
That's really exciting that they even do that there in France, because most countries don't really don't pay attention. I mean, here in the United States, we have problems with individuals who suffer traumatic brain injury as part of their job, like, for instance, soldiers. And the government doesn't pay attention to that at all. So that's pretty impressive. Okay, so what did you discover when you looked at these individuals compared to their controls over the course of 10 years?
Basically people who were either working shifts at the time or had previous experience of shift work had poorer cognitive performance. And the effects were strongest amongst those who'd been in shift work for more than 10 years. Amongst that group of people, compared to a group of non-shift workers, there was a decline in cognitive performance, which we equated to about 6.5 years of normal aging, because our cognitive processes decline anyway as we get older. Mm-hmm. But amongst those who've been had the long-term exposure, the aging process, if you like, in terms of their mental abilities at least, have been accelerated by 6.5 years on average.
That's amazing. And so was there any type of divide related to age of the worker? So in other words, if the worker was younger at that 10-year period than, say, someone else, did they still stand up to that 6-year increment?
Yeah. Well, in the way that we analyzed the data, we effectively controlled for or removed the age factor out of the analysis. So what this overall finding was, is equivalent to 6.5 years of aging, was, if you like, the average for all individuals, be it younger or older.
And did you also control for gender?
We didn't control for gender, no. The difficulty here is that men and women tend to work in different occupational settings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite difficult to distinguish between the effects of gender per se and what kind of work they're actually doing. But we had a good balance of males and females within the sample.
Was there a demarcation point of when this decline really started to occur? Like, did you look at these individuals over the course of the first, you know, maybe at different incremental periods over the 10 years, or was it just beginning and end?
In our analysis, we were only able to look at the general trend across that 10 years. But we looked at it across people from the youngest people in our sample would have been 32, and the oldest people would have gone up to 72 years of age.
What about the shift work is comprised of a variety of different periods of the evening. So in other words, someone may start at 8 p.m. And end at 4 a.m. or, you know, getting off at midnight, getting off at 4 a.m. or actually getting on the graveyard shift, which generally starts at, let's say, 10, 11, 12 at night, and you work until what is really considered morning. Did you control for that at all or look at that? Did anything jump out at you in that range there?
Well, no, we used had to use a fairly broad definition of shift work. So basically, we asked people, does your work involve doing rotating shifts, or does it involve having to stay up through the night, or does it involve having to stay up beyond midnight, or does it involve having to go to get up before 5 o'clock in the morning?
Mm.
And for the majority of for some of the analysis, we simply classified anyone who answered yes to any of those questions as being a shift worker. For some of the analysis, we focused specifically on rotating shift workers. But that was just because of the way the study was designed. That's how we had to look at it. But in general, we had quite a broad definition of shift work.
Obviously, memory consolidation has been attributed to one of the occurrences of good sleep. We know that from other research we've talked about on the show that even fragmented sleep for individuals who are not involved in shift work, but they're actually going to bed at a reasonable time, but they're not achieving good sleep quality, they have disruptions in memory consolidation. Could this phenomenon that you saw be attributed to just that alone?
We don't think so, because one of the factors that we controlled for, or if you like, you know, removed from the equation, was sleep quality. So we took account of the fact that naturally shift workers have poorer sleep quality than day workers because of the nature of their work. But even when you take sleep quality out of the equation, you still get the effects that we described. So in this case, we don't think it is related directly to differences in sleep quality.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I would like to talk to you about if you have any data on this, on metabolic issues related to overnight shift work, and maybe even if you are aware of other studies that play into this. We're talking right now with Dr. Phil Tucker. We're talking about how long-term shift work, especially as we just discussed, when you hit that 10-year point, may be affecting brain power and cognition. It's a very, very serious subject because there are a lot of people today who work that third shift for years, and it's taking more of a toll on them than we think. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Phil Tucker about long-term shift work and how it may affect brain function. Paula Mariani posted on my Facebook wall just now, what? Really? I've been doing shift work along with unsafe conditions for decades. Memory? What memory? I buy supplements that are supposed to help but I keep forgetting to take them. So she's poking a humorous jab at it. But I'm sure that a lot of people who work shift work do recognize that their brain is not functioning. Perhaps they just chalk it up to being overtired all the time, or just, hey, what can you do? Which leads me to this next discussion, and I'm just curious about your opinion. I'm not suggesting that you have any research to contribute to this portion of the discussion, but when you look at this sort of stuff, you have to ask yourself, when you look at the world stage, you know, we are around-the-clock world today. You have required shift work from package and shipping companies like UPS and FedEx. That's when they do all their business. They work at night while the world is asleep. You have law enforcement and so on and so forth. You have all these individuals today that have no choice to support their families, pay their mortgages, and do the things that they have to do. They have to work these shifts. And on top of that, they probably already recognize that it's not good. And there's a level of stress that comes along with the acknowledgement of that that must even exacerbate this problem, because we know that stress by itself can cause memory function issues. I wonder if, as this type of research becomes more accepted, more understood, more reproducible, if companies that require shift work will have to take special positions with their employees to either indemnify them against the known casualties of their work, and how this is going to affect commerce, say, 50 years from now?
Well, certainly we can't do without shift work as a society. You know, we need to be able to rely on services provided around the clock, as you say. So what can employers do? Well, I mean, what we say in this sort of discussion of our results, for example, is clearly we need to maintain a good level of medical surveillance of employees, because not everybody is going to be affected in exactly the same way by the effects of shift work. It's much like smoking or anything else. You know, there's always going to be people who can apparently get away with it without right. suffering any ill effects, others that definitely don't. So one of the things is that this kind of study highlights is the need to maintain good medical surveillance, particularly people who've been exposed for a long time, so that we can identify the people who really are suffering and hopefully try and put in some kind of countermeasure for those individuals. The other thing that we tend to talk about as well is that employers need to think about how they design their shift schedules, how the sequencing of shifts is arranged, because, I mean, there is evidence, again, from our own previous studies, that different sequences of shifts probably have different effects in terms of both short-term fatigue and perhaps longer-term disruption as well.
You know, we've done shows on short-term shift work as well. It has its own set of challenges. So there's a discussion amongst the scientific community that being a short-term shift worker is worse for you, because just as your body starts to acclimate, and I stand to be corrected, it's been a while since we did this interview, but I want to say it's about a 2 or 3 week period that it takes the body to get used to the new shift, and then you're coming off of that and maybe working the 9 to 5 or the 5 to 9, or, you know what I mean? And so that in and of itself has its own set of challenges. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Indeed, yeah. And this is a really complicated issue, actually, because some people might argue that the thing to do is to only work fixed nights, for example, only ever work nights, such that your body clock completely flips over, as it were, and that you are naturally awake during the night and sleeping during the day. The trouble with that argument is what happens during your days off, because most people will want to revert back to being day people during their days off, and so in effect they're not fixed night workers, because mm-hmm. they're in effect flipping back and forth. Rotating shifts, as we call them, particularly slowly rotating shifts of the type you described, where people might be on one particular shift for weeks at a time, they are probably particularly harmful, because the body clock does try to make some kind of adjustment to the night routine, if that's what it is, but in most cases it is not successful. So in the end, people actually spend most of their time neither fully adjusted to being a day mm-hmm. person or a night person. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what we recommend, it has to be said that this is perhaps more common practice in Europe than in the States, that shifts should rotate really quite rapidly, by which we mean perhaps only people should only work maybe one or two nights in a row, or three at the most, before they go back to being day-orientated. And what that does is it keeps the body clock on a relatively day-orientated rhythm. And we think in terms of disruption of the body clock, that might actually be less harmful than either doing this much more slow rotation, such as the type you described, or even staying on fixed night work, because, as I say, fixed night work in practice for many people isn't fixed.
That makes perfect sense, because people will self-impose, you know, maybe you've got a deadline to meet, right? So you'll work around the clock for a night or two, and then you'll crash. Are there any markers that scientists could look at to say, let's see if we can look at a population of people and find the ideal length of time to make them work at nighttime when they should be sleeping, but then let them go back to daytime work? Because we know that, as you point out, the body will eventually start to try to make corrections. So how do we determine, are there markers to look at to determine what that length of time is before the body starts going into that, okay, I'm going to correct for this, so that we could keep those shifts rotating and people healthy?
Well, I mean, we use a number of physiological markers to track what the body clock is doing. Measures of the natural levels of melatonin is, if you like, the gold mm-hmm. standard way of measuring, and that can be sampled through saliva or through urine. Also, core body temperature is another indicator of what the body clock is doing. I mean, these are all obviously quite difficult things to measure on a normal day-to-day basis, and it's not the sort of thing that can be measured by somebody just on the street, as it were. But these are the key ways that we use of trying to measure what is happening with the underlying body clock. And by doing that, we can see to what extent different sleep-wake patterns affect the body clock. As I say, it's kind of difficult to do these measures in a field setting with actual shift workers, because quite a lot of these measures are quite invasive. But it has been done, and they are quite effective ways of measuring the extent to which the body clock either stays on a day-orientated rhythm or starts trying to flip over to a night-orientated rhythm.
Yeah, it seems to me that, because one way or the other, this is going to affect companies that employ shift workers. Either the healthcare system plan of the company is going to be unnecessarily financially taxed as these individuals start to, you know, quote unquote, hit the wall, so to speak. So it's in the company's best interest to be sensitive to this discussion and want to make modifications, because ultimately, while it may be disruptive to the way they're doing business now, the long-term effect will be cost savings, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely.
Are you having these discussions with companies at all? And if so, are you finding they're receptive, or are they resistant to, like, oh, God, please don't bother us with this one more thing, you know?
I'm not personally involved in those sort of conversations with organizations, but there is certainly a lot of advice that is put out through official channels. For example, the UK government has its own health and safety executive website, which has a lot of good advice. And I think that is quite popular amongst employers, and quite a lot of employers do look at that and take notice of it, not least because of the cost implications for them and the need to maintain a healthy, productive workforce. Because at the end of the day, if you have people who are suffering, be it cognitive decline or poor health or reduced motivation, and so on, all these sorts of things that could be knock-on effects of shift work, then the performance of the company is going to suffer at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. We're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Tonight.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to primal-d.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to height and anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
She take my money.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger. Work it, make it better.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Phil Tucker. We're talking about how shift work impairs brain function. Dr. Russell Ryder, depending on what part of the country you're from, has been on this show numerous times, and he's known as the godfather, of the pineal gland, and has written over 700 papers on melatonin over his illustrious career. He still teaches, actually, too, believe it or not. I think he's in the late 70s, early 80s. But anyway, we've talked about shift work and the role of perhaps melatonin supplementation. So when these individuals get off work in the wee hours of the morning, the sun is up, going into a dark room and taking some therapeutic dose of melatonin that could be anywhere from 3 milligrams to 20 milligrams and getting to sleep. And that could actually play a role in correcting some of the metabolic issues associated with circadian disruption. Any opinions on that, Dr. Tucker?
Well, yeah, I mean, melatonin is certainly a way of adjusting the body clock. Obviously, it's the timing of how you take it depends, it determines what effect you have. So, if you want to get up earlier, then you try and advance the melatonin onset, which, because melatonin levels are higher at night, and so you take the supplement in the evening. If you want to delay the phase of the body clock, you can take it the end of the night. And there's certainly plenty of evidence to suggest that the melatonin supplements do have this effect. I have to point out that in this country, in the UK, and I think in most of Europe, melatonin isn't legally available. Now, as I understand it, that's because there are concerns about what the long-term effects of it might be. But in terms of the pure circadian science, melatonin is quite an effective way of adjusting the timing of the body clock.
Interesting. So what do you hope clinicians take away from your research? Other scientists that may be looking at this type of this area of research?
Well, I guess the key thing is the importance of how we design our work schedules and how we treat our shift workers in terms of the sort of working conditions that they are exposed to. One of my primary interests, as I say, is looking at how different types of shift schedule affect people differently. So I've talked about the notion of different types of rotation pattern. We still need to learn more about these things and indeed about what the long-term effects are. But I think it emphasizes that there is a role for science to play in designing work schedule patterns to reduce the harmful effects of shift work.
Yeah, very good. I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to be joined by Dr. Dale Bredesen. And this is a really exciting discussion, especially in the context of the discussion that we just had. We know that Alzheimer's disease produces a severe loss of brain function and memory. And actually can lead to death, because the areas of the brain that stop functioning can actually cause organs to start failing. But memory is probably the most notable change that we identify early on with Alzheimer's disease. And Dr. Bredesen's group, they have discovered how to reverse the memory loss of Alzheimer's for the first time ever. And this is a really important discussion, because there are lots of drugs out there, things like Aricept, that have some nasty side effects that people who suffer from Alzheimer's disease quite often can't comply with taking it because of the side effects. None the least of annoying is very, very lucid, scary dreams that make these people freak out. And keep in mind that they have difficulty grasping some aspects of reality to begin with. So that just makes it even worse for the families that have to take care of them. But nonetheless, if you are able to reverse the memory loss portion of Alzheimer's, what else are you reversing? It's an interesting discussion that we're going to have when we come back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Please stay tuned. We shall return.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Now we move to another discussion, but kind of staying within the same wheelhouse of the discussion previously. We're joined by Dr. Dale Bredsen from UCLA. How you doing, Dr. Bredsen?
Fine. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Great.
And your group published a paper on a small trial, and small being an important aspect of this, but that showed that memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease was reversible. And this is a really exciting discussion, given the rate in which Alzheimer's seems to be popping up all over the world, but especially here in the United States.
Right, exactly. As you probably know, there are already 5.4 million Americans who have this problem, and there are dozens of millions more that are in early stages or that are at high risk. For example, APOE4, the specific genotype, provides risk for Alzheimer's disease, and there are 75 million Americans who carry the APOE4 gene. And, of course, 99.9% don't know they have it, and most people don't want to know they have it because they don't want to know about the risk because it's always said there's just nothing you can do about it. We have been working now for 25 years to look at what is the underlying mechanism, what are the critical mechanisms that drive the neurodegeneration in Alzheimer's disease. And we were surprised to find that there is actually a very striking network, what we call a plasticity network. So you literally have forces that are driving the memory formation, but on the other hand, forces that are driving forgetting. And this is normal, just like, you know, you're actively forgetting the seventh song that plays on the radio on the way to work yesterday, and you're actively remembering things like where your keys are and what you're going to do later today and things like that. And there's a beautiful balance that occurs throughout your life. But as we age, there are many factors that contribute to a change in that balance. And just as a simple example, if you look at, imagine that you've got, that you're doing repairs on your house for many years, and imagine that you've got contractors that do the construction and contractors that do the demolition. Mm-hmm. And imagine that the contractors that do the demolition, every time they come, they do a little extra. The contractors that do the construction, they never show up. After a long time, your house is going to be getting smaller, smaller, smaller. That's the same thing that happens with all the connections in your brain in Alzheimer's disease. You are chronically on the side of the plasticity balance where you're pulling back. So what we did then was to look at what are all these features, and we found actually 36 different ones, and I'm sure that there are going to be some more, but these 36 explain much of what we know about Alzheimer's disease and its epidemiology. We increased all the ones that support the connections. We decreased all the ones that support the pullback. And we see dramatic effects. It typically took about 3 to 6 months.
Okay, so let's talk about first the demolition team, the ones that seem to be causing the erosion of brain function. I would imagine that in this group, we have the plaque that is associated with the disease.
Absolutely. So, but what's interesting, people always say, well, you know, it's about the plaque and it's about the A-beta, of course, is the peptide that is the predominant feature in the plaque. There are other molecules as well, but A-beta is a prominent one, and especially one of the particular A-betas, which is called A-beta 42. Mm-hmm. So this is a prominent one, but you have to step beyond that and say, why? Why are you making this A-beta? So for the majority of people, you don't actually have a mutation in A-beta. So why are you making all this stuff? Well, it turns out that you increase this, again, as part of this wonderful balance, because of many, many different things. So, for example, if you suddenly decrease markedly your testosterone or your estradiol or your pregnenolone or your vitamin D or you don't get enough sleep mm-hmm. or you go on and on and on, all these things feature in that beautiful balance.
Okay, now let me ask you a question because this is something that I've been confused about. I've always thought that A-beta was a misfolded protein, and we know that fragmented sleep, insulin sensitivity, can cause the endoplasmic reticulum to cause misfolded proteins. But A-beta is actually supposed to be there, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it says people go back and forth and often don't describe this accurately enough. So all of us are making A-beta all the time. And, of course, you're making it and you're also breaking it down. So, again, there's a beautiful balance mm-hmm. between the making it and the degradation of the A-beta itself. But you're absolutely right. It is folding the way it is made to fold. It is cut, as you know, from a larger molecule that's called amyloid precursor protein, or APP. So what we found is that APP is a molecular switch involved with plasticity, with memory. If it is cut at one site, which is called the alpha site, that leads to two pieces, two peptides, which are called SAPP-alpha and alpha-CTF, which is the one on the inside of the cell, SAPP-alpha on the outside of the cell. Those two are both physiological mediators of, guess what, neurite extension, mm-hmm. synaptic formation, and synaptic maintenance. So they actually support memory. On the other hand, you take the same APP, you cleave it at three different sites, which are the beta site, the gamma site, and the caspase site, and you have four pieces, four peptides, which are called SAPP-beta, A-beta, which is the one everyone studies, that's the one everyone focuses on with Alzheimer's, but mm-hmm. as you can see, it's part of a much bigger picture.
Right.
The next one's called J-CASP, and then the one inside is called C31. So guess what? Those four peptides are all physiological mediators of neurite retraction, synaptic reorganization, and programmed cell death activation. So they're all there to pull back on these and reorganize. So this is, again, this is a symphony. It's a beautiful back and forth. You're activating both sides frequently. But when you chronically activate the four, what we call the four bad guys, the four ones that are pulling back, which is what happens in Alzheimer's disease, then again, you're chronically on the demolition side
right.
and not on the formation side. So you're right. The A-beta is meant to form. It is meant as a peptide that makes oligomers. So it's several of these stick together. And then at times, of course, it'll go much larger, and you actually see these, you know, these lakes of amyloid that you can see on the scans. But it functions with these little oligomers. It is part of molecules interacting with each other.
What are some of the other growth factors or the builders as opposed to the demolitions that play a role in neuroplasticity?
Right. So, again, dozens of these things. So let's start, for example, with nerve growth factor. NGF is an important one. BDNF, which is brain-derived
right.
neurotrophic factor. And by the way, that's the one that goes up a lot, as you know, when you exercise a lot.
Yeah.
So exercise turns out to be absolutely crucial in that balance. So a lot of what we found at the molecular level supports all the epidemiology that we've been hearing about for years. We've known for years that exercise seems to be one of the things that inhibits the formation of Alzheimer's, that decreases your risk. And as you can imagine, all of these studies that people have done taking just one variable, not too surprising, what happens is you see a modest effect of mm-hmm. each one of these because you really need to put the whole thing together. What I usually tell my patients is that if you can imagine a roof with 36 holes in it, now that we know about these 36 mechanisms, so if you imagine a roof with 36 holes, well, the drugs that are there for Alzheimer's and the various things you can do, they each patch one hole. So you take a drug, you can patch one hole, that's great, but what about the other 35? So in our approach, what we do is we patch all 36 holes. Now, these are early days. This is, as you said, just a few patients. It's toe in the water. So a lot of these things that we're patching with paper mache here, but it's at least understanding what are the critical things. So BDNF, as I mentioned, another one, interestingly, vitamin D. Another one is called Netrin-1. Netrin-1 mm-hmm. is a trophic factor and an axon guidance molecule that helps you, and it turns out we discovered a few years ago, Netrin-1 binds to APP itself, and it drives it down the side of making the two peptides that support the memory.
Uh-huh.
So you just go on and on, all these things that have an effect on this. And by the way, on the negative side, for example, is homocysteine. Homocysteine, if you don't have enough B12, B6, and folate, as you know, your homocysteine will increase. Homocysteine causes a post-translational modification, in other words, a change in a protein, which is called PP2A, which takes phosphorylation off tau. So you end up with too much phosphorylated tau, which is part of Alzheimer's disease, which is part of what pulls those connections back.
Interesting.
So all these things feed into this critical balance in your plasticity. And the most interesting thing of all, we've created new mice. These are knock-in mice, where we can go the opposite. They're essentially anti-Alzheimer's, so we actually change the balance in the positive way. And guess what? These mice are amazing. They learn faster, they learn to a higher criterion, and they don't forget. So you can manipulate this plasticity balance in the way opposite to Alzheimer's and actually create super mice in terms of their memories.
You know what's another way of shutting down the production of homocysteine creatine supplementation. And interestingly enough, creatine supplementation has been used in some studies to affect memory. But more importantly, homocysteine is produced in large amounts when creatine is produced in the body. It's one of the amino acids that is kind of spun off. If you supplement with creatine and the body doesn't have to produce its own creatine, homocysteine drops to almost negligible production. And that's
right.
I learned that a long time ago. Another benefit of taking creatine for those who take it for sports-related issues is another benefit, and it reduces homocysteine production.
Yeah, and I'm surprised by how many physicians do not check their patients' homocysteine levels. It's an important thing for all of us to know. I often ask people, you know, have you checked your homocysteine? Have you checked your hsCRP? Have you checked your vitamin D level? You know, have you checked your hemoglobin A1C? Have you checked your fasting insulin? All of these things and more contribute to that balance and contribute to whether we're going to get Alzheimer's disease or not.
We're going to go into a break, but you just talked about insulin sensitivity a second ago, and I want to come back and talk a little bit about that right now. We're talking with Dr. Dale Bredesen. This is a very, very exciting discussion about a small trial that reversed the memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease. And I have to ask the question, too, later on in the show, if it's reversing the memory loss, which is probably the most outward symptom of Alzheimer's disease, what else related to the damage done to the brain from a disease like this is being reversed? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit Anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Oh, when I woke up tonight, I said I gotta make some.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Dale Bredesen about a small trial that produced some amazing results in the area of reversing the memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Bredesen, what role does insulin resistance, and obviously we can't talk about insulin resistance without talking about some dietary templates at the root of many of the cases of insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. What role does that play in this whole equation?
This plays an absolutely huge role. So when we look at these, as I mentioned, the 36 holes, all the things that contribute to memory loss and that contribute to the risk of Alzheimer's disease, insulin resistance is one of the more important ones. And I should mention, these first 10 patients that you were talking about, the ones that got better the quickest and the most completely cut out simple carbohydrates and were very strict about it. The ones that were slower and didn't get as full return did not. So this is a critical piece. And if you look at what happens in your brain cells, then in fact, insulin plays a huge role. And that one of the most exciting pieces that just came out is from one of my colleagues, Dr. Ed Getzel from UCSF. And he just published a week and a half ago a paper showing that when you take someone with Alzheimer's, and what he does is to look at what's called neural exosomes. So your neurons actually break off tiny pieces of the cell, and these ultimately actually get into your blood. So you actually have a window on the mind. There are 1.2 billion of these exosomes in each cc of your blood.
Holy
moly. You've got a lot of these things floating around. And they, as I say, they really give you a window so you can do biochemistry and measure changes.
It's almost like a biopsy that's just floating around in the blood.
Isn't that amazing? Exactly. You've got 1.2 billion biopsies floating around.
Holy
mackerel. It's amazing. And this is, to me, this is a real breakthrough that you can start looking at these things and asking what's going on in your brain without biopsying your brain, just as you said. So what he showed was that if you take these and you just isolate the ones that are from neurons, it turns out that turns out to be about 10 to 15% of these exosomes derive from the neurons. Now, if you ask the question, how many is there, you know, let's look at the insulin signaling and look at whether there is insulin resistance. In fact, that's exactly what he found, was that in Alzheimer's disease, you see central insulin resistance in these neural exosomes. And he measured this by looking at a molecule called IRS1, which is related to insulin signaling. And he looked at the ratio of the phosphorylation that is serine and threonine type phosphorylation versus that that is tyrosine phosphorylation. If you have the high signaling, you've got a high tyrosine phosphorylation. So if you have a high ratio of serine threonine to tyrosine, then you've got insulin resistance. And what he found was that there is insulin resistance centrally in Alzheimer's patients, even when they don't show it peripherally in terms of type 2 diabetes. And in fact, it was every bit as bad and even a little worse in the Alzheimer's patients that it was in type 2 diabetic patients. So it's actually striking, and this does seem to be a part of it. As you know, there are other pieces of information that also point in this direction. For example, there's a trial showing that there is, a small improvement with some intranasal insulin in Alzheimer's disease.
Yes.
And again, we would argue, you know, that's one of the 36 holes. Great, but you've got to do more than just that. But it is unquestionably an important part. Insulin resistance is an important part of Alzheimer's disease.
And interestingly enough, that's the reason why ketogenic diets seem to benefit. They don't necessarily reverse, but they can keep the disease from progressing. But the problem is compliance. It's hard to get people to eat a ketogenic diet. But we see that individuals who experience some of the memory loss issues go away when the brain starts running on ketones instead of glucose.
Absolutely. And so, again, as you said, This is again one of the 36 holes. So people who just did the ketogenic diet had some improvement.
Right.
But again, we would argue you need to do more than just that. So for these patients, for example, one of the things that we went over was that you have to have a 12-hour fast each night. So 12 hours between when you finish your dinner and when you start your breakfast, at least. then also a three-hour fast between when they finished their dinner, or their last food in the day, and when they went to bed. You want to obviously keep the insulin levels low as well. And then, of course, use the use of coconut oil, which, you know, easy to take and contributes to that. And as you know, there are many groups now that are looking at better ways to induce ketogenesis. There are some that like Axona, for example. But certainly this is going to be an important part of this. And again, burning fats, it seems to be a helpful thing in this balance.
You know, we promote on this show ancestral diets, but in, mm-hmm. But it's not just about the foods that our ancestors, and when I say ancestors, I mean from an evolutionary perspective. I don't mean our great grandparents.
Right.
They were already co-opted by right. the modern template. But when we talk about this, I hate using the term intermittent fasting because it creates an almost zealot-like response in some people. What I like to say is a more ancestral meal frequency. And when you look right. at, when you look at us over evolution, breakfast was not the most important meal of the day. In fact, we probably had to get up and work to find breakfast.
Exactly.
And if you look at some of the work that has been done by, I'm going to forget his name now. Isn't that terrible? And I've mentioned him so many times. But he wrote a fantastic book called Of Dove, Diplomats, and Diabetes. He's a physician from India that we've had on the show. And we know that periods of fasting are actually critical for the body. And especially yeah. from a standpoint of ridding the body of metabolic debris, when we look at autophagy occurs during fasting periods. And autophagy has to help part of the cleanup of all the demolition that's going on, right?
Absolutely. And that's the reason for that 12-hour fast at night. I mean, this is, you know, this is not a difficult thing. You can go from, you know, 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. This is not this unusual. And as you pointed out, you can certainly go later. Many people wake up and don't need breakfast right away. So autophagy is a critical process. And guess what autophagy does? Among many other things, it eats the A-beta.
Mm.
So you can reduce, again, you can change this balance that we're so interested in changing when you induce autophagy. And that's one of the reasons for the fasting.
Dr. Milind Watvi, I apologize for forgetting his name originally. Okay, so tell me more. So what are some of the other things that people need to focus on if they think that they are a candidate for developing this disease that can maybe help keep them out of the line of it?
Absolutely. Probably the most important thing to do is to start early. Everything is changing now because, as you know, in our society, as people begin to have problems with their memories, they know that the doctor is not going to be able to help them. So what they do is they wait till very, very late. They don't want it. That one woman told me, I knew that if I went into the doctor, he would just take my driver's license away. He might end up that I would end up in a nursing home because he would start telling my family about this. So this has been a typical problem. So we've got to change that completely, change that way of thinking. As you have the most mild memory loss, this is when we want to start. And the people that have mild memory loss, we had tremendous success with. And I should mention, we had success in 9 out of 10, these first 10 patients. The one that we didn't have success with was very late in the process, had what's called a MoCA, Montreal Cognitive Assessment, score of 6 out of 30, doesn't know how to brush her hair, take a shower, you know, any of those sorts of things. So this, you know, we still, numbers are small. We've got another 30 right now, but we have, you know, it probably isn't going to work very, very late. So this is what we call MEND, metabolic enhancement for neurodegeneration. Now, let me mention one other important factor.
Please.
As I mentioned earlier, 75 million Americans have APOE4. People tend to not want to know it because they think there's nothing that can be done. That's changing now. So it is actually helpful to know it. We're looking at starting a large project where we would encourage people to get their genotyping and then to go on this program and early on so that they can reverse this. If you look at APOE4, it's an absolutely fascinating story. So Dr. Tuck Finch, one of my colleagues and friends from over at USC, and actually I just met with Tuck a couple days ago, he has proposed years ago that APOE4 is one of the critical genes that allowed us to evolve from the simians. So when the hominids evolved from the simians about between 5 and 7 million years ago, we came down out of the trees, we started eating more raw meat, We started fighting, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We started walking around and stepping on dung and all sorts of things. And the argument was, if you look at the human genome and if you look at the genome of chimps and other simians, there's a finite number of changes. And surprisingly, overrepresented in these changes are changes that are genes that are pro-inflammatory.
Bingo.
Why would you want that? Well, because you're now exposed to all this raw meat with all the microbes that are in there. You're stepping on dung. You're getting all sorts of infections. It turns out that APOE4 is a prominent gene that causes a pro-inflammatory state. It's never been clear why that is, and we've just got some recent research we're very excited about, because for the first time, we've identified that APOE4 actually enters the nucleus, had not been appreciated before, and it interacts with 1,400 different gene promoters. So it literally changes the program in your cells, and it changes it from a program that is more toward metabolism, activating SIRT1, the same thing you think about when you think about resveratrol.
Right.
And it switches it over to a program that is NF-kappa-B driven, which, of course, is pro-inflammatory. So we basically became more pro-inflammatory organisms as we became human. Great for fighting off all the microbes, great for walking around in bare feet, great for getting in fights and having infections and things like this. Great until you're about in your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Bad for long term. Now, through almost all of human evolution, we have been only APOE4. It was just 220,000 years ago that APOE3 first appeared, and of course now it's the dominant one. The gene frequency is about 0.85, so the majority of people have this. And then APOE2 just appeared 80,000 years ago. These are much less pro-inflammatory. And so now it allows us to live longer. It allows us to have less heart disease. It allows us to have less Alzheimer's disease. If you look at centenarians, for example, APOE4 is highly underrepresented. It is literally a shortevity gene, not a longevity gene. But if you're exposed to a situation the way we would have, a few million years ago, it's a good thing to have around. So important to know about it, because you can change your diet, just as you indicated earlier. You can change your exercise. Interestingly, one of the epidemiological studies showed that the magnitude of the effect of one allele of APOE4, and that's the one that about 25% of all Americans have, only 2.25% of Americans have two copies of APOE4. But the magnitude of the effect of one copy is approximately equal to the magnitude of the effect of regular exercise.
Mm.
So, in fact, you can do a lot with just that. And I have one of my patients, very interesting guy, who came in who had APOE4, one copy, and had classical Alzheimer's disease, where he's has a PET scan that shows classical both temporal and parietal hypoutilization of glucose, classic for Alzheimer's disease. His neuropsych testing, again, classic pattern for Alzheimer's. And in fact, his what's called CVLT, California Verbal Learning Test, had fallen all the way to one percentile from the 84th percentile. And this guy has offices on East Coast, West Coast, and was just in the middle of shutting these down, and has gotten on this program and is actually now going to open a third office and doing extremely well.
Oh, how wonderful.
And this guy, one of the things that I think has helped him, he is a crazy exerciser. 7 days a week he's out there swimming, he's out there cycling. Now, he did, many other things as well, and actually I described it in the paper that you mentioned. But he's doing extremely well. So I think a good thing, again, to get as early as possible.
All right, and we are an audience. The Superhuman Nation is one of the cornerstones of longevity, we believe, is physical activity, and that is almost a hormetin-like physical activity, heavy resistance training, high-intensity aerobic training. These are all part of what we do, along with an ancestral template for food. So we're right in your category of what you want to see people doing. But what I want to do now is, I was making notes as you were talking, and since you mentioned the word inflammation,
yes,
the next discussion I wanted to come in was something that maybe a lot of people aren't thinking positively about today, and that is the role of hormones chronic inflammation and how inflammation resolves itself. I want to talk about that, if we can, in the context of your research, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Dale Bredzin. This is going to really get good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com. Age Force is having a special Black Friday sale. All their patches are 50% off. Click the banner ad at superhumanradio.com. We're talking with Dr. Dale Bredzin from UCLA about successfully reversing memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease. This is a very, very exciting discussion, one that should be picked up by every mainstream media outlet, because we are living in a world today where people are developing Alzheimer's disease and dementia at younger and younger ages, and clearly it's something to do with what we are doing. There's an epigenetic role in this, and actually we're talking a lot about epigenetics here. While you may have the genetic markers for these things, you can avoid developing these diseases by following some of the discussion points that we're talking about here. So, as you pointed out, the APOE4 allele, it plays a very, very important role in triggering inflammation. We didn't fare well after 40 years old. We know that hormonal cessation occurs at that, around that age. But now we have new technologies and therapies. We have beneficial hormone replacement therapies. I use the word beneficial because there's a lot of discussion about the form of HRT, the delivery, methylated versions wreaking havoc with the liver, whether or not these are bioidenticals and so on. And we can leave that discussion to others. But inflammation plays a very important role. It's not the bad guy, but it becomes the bad guy when it's chronic, when it never resolves and there's low levels of constant inflammation. We know that there's changes that occur on a cellular level that lead to cancers. And I have to believe that that also plays a role in the brain as well. So what role do sex steroids, such as testosterone, estrogen, especially because estrogen has been shown to suppress inflammation through a fibroblast activation factor. What role do these play in the etiology of Alzheimer's disease and then what you've discovered?
Right. So you hit the absolutely critical word, involved. So that the issue is that inflammation happens, many times, and it's something that we need for resolving things like, infections and things like that. You've got to have that inflammation, that capacity. Otherwise, you can't get rid of the various microbes that attack us, et cetera. But the problem is exactly what you said, that unfortunately, many of us live in a state of chronic mild inflammation, and that is a disaster for heart disease, for Alzheimer's, and for other things as well. So the issue is, getting to the molecular level for a moment, anything that activates NF-kappa-B, as an example, so this is nuclear factor kappa-B, this is a transcription factor, and this actually sits out in the cytoplasm of the cells, but when it is activated, it travels to the nucleus and binds to many promoters and turns on a whole set of genes, as you can imagine, things like interleukins, cytokines, things like that,
right,
that are all involved in the inflammatory response. Now, the most important thing from the standpoint of Alzheimer's disease is to understand that A-beta itself, the stuff that collects in the brains in the patients with Alzheimer's, is a part of the inflammatory response. When you understand that, then you can understand that anything that's chronically activating inflammation is going to put you at greater risk. And in fact, NF-kappa-B is involved with turning on the genes for both beta secretase and gamma secretase. These are molecular scissors that cleave that APP molecule we were talking about earlier and produce this A-beta that is present in Alzheimer's disease. So this is a critical piece. What we discovered is that APOE4 actually interacts directly with the NF-kappa-B and drives it into the nucleus, and then it binds, of course, to these many promoters and turns on the inflammatory response. So what happens is you've got this A-beta in your brain, and by the way, you've also got it floating around in your bloodstream. And there was a group at UCLA led by Dr. Milan Fiala who discovered something very interesting. If you simply take peripheral blood mononuclear cells, so this is just you take someone's blood, you isolate their monocytes and their macrophages, these are some of the white blood cells in the blood, and you simply challenge them with A-beta itself. A normal person, these things will actually phagocytose the A-beta. So you can measure the amount of A-beta taken up by these phagocytes, by these eating cells.
Right.
These are the things that eat up bacteria and things like that. But if you take someone with Alzheimer's disease, you challenge their peripheral blood mononuclear cells, they don't eat it. And it's a striking effect. So such that it's almost 100% sensitive. All the people who are on the low side don't eat the A-beta, and the ones on the high side do. These are the normals. So there is a big difference between Alzheimer's and normals. And again, it's part of the fact that Alzheimer's patients, not only do they have what we talked about earlier, the insulin resistance, but they also live in a chronic state of mild inflammation. And so part of our 36-part program is to resolve that inflammation, just as you said earlier. And in fact, Dr. Charlie Sirhan from Harvard has done beautiful work with what he calls resolvins, protectins, and myrisins. These are molecules that actually help to resolve the inflammation. And guess what? These things, some of these are derived from omega-3.
I was just going to say, omega-3s.
Exactly right. So that's why you want to take the omega-3s. And again, of course, that's part of this 36-part program. And omega-3s are very beneficial. Again, part of a much larger program. And when Dr. Fiala then repeats, as people get on the omega-3s and vitamin D and these other pieces, and he then repeats this, looking at how much these mononuclear cells can take up, their phagocytosis of A-beta comes back to the normal range. So this is, again, this is part of the inflammatory process. And as you indicated, there are many, many different things that contribute to this, including your hormone balance, including, interestingly, your hygiene, including how much sugar you eat, including how much trans fat you're exposed to, including what you eat, when you eat, how much you sleep, you know, just go on and on and on. So inflammation is an absolutely crucial part of this. And this is one of the reasons we measure everybody's hsCRP, their C-reactive protein.
Right.
And many of these people, as you know, tend to be quite high when they have Alzheimer's disease.
So does arresting it? Okay, the protocol, first of all, I have to commend you about something. We hear a lot of talk about integrative medicine, but in my past experience, this is a group of doctors from different areas of medicine who get together and talk about a patient, but they really aren't, it's not integrative in that the approach, the protocol, the prescriptive approach looks at integrating a variety of different things. Everybody just goes for pharmaceutical drugs of right. their bail in their, within their wheelhouse, so to speak. But right. I want to read this. I have to commend you because I think this approach shows what real integrative medicine should look like. Okay. Eliminating all simple carbohydrates, gluten, and processed foods from the diet, eating more vegetables, fruits, and non-farmed fish, meditating twice a day and beginning yoga to reduce stress, sleeping 7 to 8 hours per night, up from 4 to 5 hours a night. This is one individual there. Taking melatonin, methylcobalamin, vitamin D3, fish oil, coenzyme Q10 each day, optimizing oral hygiene using an electric flosser and electric toothbrush, reinstating hormone replacement therapy, which had previously been discontinued, fasting for a minimum of 12 hours between dinner and breakfast and a minimum of 3 hours between dinner and bedtime, exercising for a minimum of 30 minutes, 4 to 6 days a week. This is really what integrative should be. You're integrating everything. It's not about, well, I'm going to give her Aricept because that's what's in my quiver. What are you going to do? I'm going to give her, you know, glucophage because that's in my quiver. This is what integrative medicine should look like.
Exactly. And, you know, people tend to laugh and say, well, hey, meditation is not a cure for Alzheimer's. Of course it's not. Not by itself. But why would you leave out the ability to reduce cortisol? And by the way, cortisol, and certainly you probably know of the work of Robert Sapolsky out here at Stanford, you know, hugely damaging to hippocampal circuit.
Yes.
So, and again, many of these patients come in with very high fasting cortisols. And so this is one of the pieces. Again, it's not all of it, but this, you know, I should say, I trained as a molecular neuroscientist. So this, you know, 20 years ago, I would have laughed at this.
Right.
This has come from 25 years in the test tube looking at what are all the critical molecules that drive the loss of neurons. And the surprise to me, my wife is a family practice physician, 20 years ago she said to me, you know, when you finally figure this all out, you know it's going to have something to do with diet, exercise, stress, sleep, vitamins, these sorts of things. And I laughed and I said, no, we're going to find one specific molecule that's going to create this disease, and then we're going to develop a drug for it. Well, I should have listened to her 20 years ago, because she was absolutely right. And it turns out that this is a network. And to tweak this network, to change the network's function, you hit it at multiple sites. And, yeah, drugs are fine, but drugs we're thinking of more and more now. Drugs are the dessert. All these other things, changes in lifestyle, changes in sleep, changes in hormones, changes in our food, our hygiene, these things are all the salad and the entree. The drugs are the dessert. Yes, we can add the drugs. In fact, one of the things we're most interested in now is let's go back to some of the drugs that failed because they were only covering one of the 36 holes. Now we should be able to test these drugs. When you do everything right, you should really be able to see whether that drug is doing something important now. So, yes, this is completely based on molecular biology, the mechanistic of what is driving this synaptic loss in the brain. And the surprise is you can do a lot without ever taking the first drug.
Well, and so, you know, one of my favorite books that I've now read twice is The Story of the Human Body by Dr. Daniel Lieberman. It's and every physician should be required to read this in medical school, because ignoring evolution is at the root of why we treat diseases the way we treat them. And the notion that we are, on one hand, we know that how sophisticated the human body is, but then it's almost insulting that we're going to take one pill and try to cure a disease, when we know that most of the diseases of modernity are a result of us being mismatched for our lifestyles. So you can't just look at a molecule and go, this is the answer. And you acknowledge that by your protocol. You're saying, look, we have to treat the human condition. It's not just one thing. It's the whole condition that this human being is being exposed to and the things that they're doing that need to be changed. But the problem I think that mainstream medicine has with this approach, and they will say to you, is compliance. They'll say, look, we have a hard enough time getting people to take their pills and getting their prescriptions filled. How are we going to get them to meditate, exercise, change their diet? You know, all these things, we're not going to be able to do it. But I disagree with them, because I think ultimately this approach, people will fall in love with. People hate taking pills. Right. We hate taking pills. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I just want to step out of the realm of Alzheimer's for a second, and I want to look at other diseases of the brain and postulate, why couldn't this be effective for them? I have a sister that I lost to Parkinson's disease. I believe that Parkinson's disease is the same thing as Alzheimer's. It's just the substantia nigra instead of some other area of the brain. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Dale Bredzin. This is an exciting interview, one of the best we've done in a long time. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it, with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more.
Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Dale Bredesen from UCLA. We're talking about a small but important study that showed the reversal of memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease by following a integrative protocol that addressed the whole human condition as opposed to a single drug therapy. Dr. Bredesen, I have to believe that I lost a sister to Parkinson's disease. It was very, very terrible. And I have to believe that those types of diseases share some common ground with diseases like Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up because just last night I was working on taking this system 1.0 that we call this, what we call the MEND protocol for Alzheimer's, and developing something very similar for Parkinson's. So in Alzheimer's, we went and looked at all of the different contributors to this, let's say the plasticity network, so we could get a fundamental understanding of what's driving the Alzheimer's. And as I mentioned to one of the patients recently who came in, is actually a physician, I said, you know, the bad news is you're giving yourself Alzheimer's by all the things that you're doing. And the right. good news is, you know, we can change that. And he's now 3 months into this and doing much better. But with Parkinson's, we don't understand the underlying pathophysiology as well yet. We know some things about it. Obviously, there are a lot of hints from genetics. We know that whatever this motor control system is that's involved, and you mentioned the substantia nigra, but of course it also includes a locus coeruleus. As you know, it actually includes gut neurons.
Right.
These are affected. You get constipation in this. As you know, you often lose sense of smell. As you know, you often have what's called REM behavioral disturbance. People
yes.
fling their hands, et cetera. That's another part of the brain as well. So it goes beyond just the substantia nigra pars compacta, which is, of course, the most well-defined part. So it's an important illness. Over a million Americans have it, and then another million Americans with Lewy body disease,
uh-huh.
which is a kind of essentially Parkinson's plus Alzheimer's.
Right.
So very important area. Now, we do have some clues. Alpha-synuclein is somehow involved. Mitochondrial complex 1, if you just inhibit that, you end up with Alzheimer's. beautiful work from Dr. Ming Guo at UCLA recently showing that if you just inhibit mitophagy, so you talked about autophagy earlier,
right.
If you prevent, it's literally like saying we're going to take the batteries that run down and stop you from throwing them away, these mitochondria that are now running down in their ability, and if you just do that, you get a Parkinson's phenotype in animals, in laboratory animals. So there's something critical about getting, about destroying the mitochondria that are not working. There's something critical about mitochondrial complex 1. There's something critical about glutathione. As you know, it's typically low in patients who have Parkinson's disease. So we're developing a similar, we're just working on trying to develop a similar system. And I think you're absolutely right. That's the direction things are headed. When people come in with this, and especially you want to get it as early as possible. And I should add, there are now some groups looking at predicting Parkinson's. When you have this combination, when you have REM behavioral disturbance and you have decrease in your ability to smell, so your olfactory capability, and you have constipation, that triad is highly predictive of future development of Parkinson's. And you can actually measure with brain scans dopamine uptake through the dopamine, so-called DAT, the dopamine transporter.
Right.
And you can see an abnormality in that about 5 years before the motor symptoms become apparent. So this is the future, predicting Parkinson's, preventing it, and then reversing it if you get to the early points. And it's going to include things like improving mitochondrial function, increasing mitophagy, decreasing radical damage to mitochondria, decreasing damage to mitochondrial DNA, all of these things, increasing glutathione stores, all of these things are going to be part of that system 1.0.
We did a show earlier this year specifically about progesterone-only birth control pills and the onset of dementia. And so what about this is an important discussion because we may have people out there who may or may not have this APOE4 allele, but they are causing certain conditions as a result of these unopposed hormone approaches to birth control that could be promoting maybe some sort of collateral net loss of neurons versus the rebuilding. Any evidence that these types of birth control pills play into this discussion?
Not to my knowledge yet. However, in the paper we mentioned something that you just referred to. The idea is any time you treat these conditions or prevent them, you want to go as upstream as possible. You want to go as physiological as possible.
Right.
So the last thing you want to do, and this is where, again, drugs are very non-physiological, have all sorts of side effects. Yes, they have their place. Yes, they can be extremely valuable, especially for things like infections and things like that.
Right.
But these are short-term things. You don't want to treat these complex conditions
Rescue.
Just with a single drug. So, yes, you want to be as physiological as possible, and this comes up frequently with HRT. People say, well, gee, why do you even need progesterone? If you don't have a uterus, who cares? Or, you know, I can use it every several months. No, you want to be as physiological as possible.
Yes. I notice here that you have gluten. Gluten is a lectin. There's many, many lectins out there that are anti-nutrients that nature puts in place to keep bugs and critters from eating these plants. But because we're so much bigger, they don't necessarily kill us or drive us off. They just cause low-grade inflammation, which comes to the discussion about grains and some of these other very obvious now through research pro-inflammatory things, even some of the high omega-6 oils from soybean and so on. These should be eliminated from the diet, really, if you ultimately, if you want the best possible results from this. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, this is a really controversial area, as you know, because some groups believe that some grains are fine. If you want to be on the safe side, you're absolutely right. Just get rid of them. Certainly the work of Dr. Fasano over the last years has shown that for many of us, not just those who appear to be gluten, specifically gluten sensitive, or those
celiac.
Who actually have celiac disease, those are the rare ones. But for many of us, of course, gluten has an effect that allows your gut to be leaky so that you end up leaking all of these various peptides into your bloodstream, have all sorts of inflammatory
autoimmune disorders have been linked to this. I call it the innocent bystander process where the immune system goes after a rogue molecule that looks very similar to a cell that belongs there and attacks both of them.
Exactly. And, of course, there have been people with Parkinson's described that do better off gluten. So this is, a very controversial area right now. And, of course, what's better than some delicious fresh baked bread? So it's not easy to get off this. But, in fact, this is one of the things that I recommend. And as you mentioned earlier, the patients that have come through, a number of have indeed gotten off gluten, and that's been part of their improvement. So what I usually suggest to people is that they get the Cyrex arrays, 2, 3, and 20. And 2 will tell you whether you have leaky gut. 3 will tell you whether you're gluten sensitive specifically, and then 20 will actually tell you whether you have a leaky blood-brain barrier, also important. And by the way, tremendous amount of work on leaky blood-brain barrier in Alzheimer's, and it certainly seems to be contributory to the process.
That's really interesting, because obviously the blood-brain barrier is there to protect the brain from these rogue molecules, and if the guard is down, so to speak, and these things are getting into the brain's being assaulted.
Absolutely, chronically assaulted.
This is great work. I have to applaud you. And I have to applaud you for another reason. Because mainstream medical orthodoxy has a very, very difficult time acknowledging what you've acknowledged. That, you know what, I set out to find a molecule, and what I found out was a system that needs to be followed. And I predict that you're way ahead of your time. And I predict that it's going to be a while before this type of approach is embraced. Unfortunately, why that is, I'd rather not discuss now, but I just want to applaud you. I think you're doing great work, and I think that everybody, whether you think you could get Alzheimer's disease or not, should be doing what you're talking about in this paper, just for the human condition, to amplify success of the human condition.
Absolutely. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And, you know, what we encourage people to do is get your numbers tested. See where you stand, because then you can know where to go. Some people are going to need one thing. You know, part of this is just having it personalized. And, yes, a number of my colleagues have approached me and said, this is strange. Actually, one of the NIH officials that I'd worked with in the past said, Dale, I read your paper. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe from the mainstream it is. But we're following where the evidence takes us.
What you have here is really what we talk about on the show all the time, and that is the ancestral template. It really is. It fits right into this.
Exactly.
Listen, you were worried we weren't going to have enough to talk about. Okay, look, I want to thank you so much. I applaud you, and I'm going to be watching for more future research from your group. Thank you so much, Dr. Benson.
All right. Good talking to you,
Take
Carl.
Care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, so there you have it. What a great discussion that is right there. The whole show, all about your brain. The bottom line is this. The things we talk about on this show, the lifestyle we talk about on this show, is favorable to a healthy brain. Getting proper sleep at night when you're supposed to, exercising vigorously and regularly, staying active, melatonin, vitamin D3, a primal D. We're learning more and more about why primal D may be better than everything else. Fish oil. Oral hygiene. I mean, you know, we have Elisa Profumo to thank about talking to us about oral hygiene all the time. Intermittent fasting or an ancestral meal frequency template. I mean, it's all there. Eliminating grains. More and more people should just listen to this show. That's all I say. And I'm not being selfish by saying that. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.